rest of the college football world, at least in the state here. Actually, you know what? Hold on here, because I'm about to go in a very positive direction here for probably somebody who doesn't know what I'm going to. But first, Tulane.
Here comes the Lightning down the sideline. Mitchell headed to the house. Touchdown, ECU.
He had 220 yards. He had 120 on two carries, 52-29. Tulane now 1-4. They will host 4-1 Houston at Yeoman on Thursday on national television. That ought to be fun. Auburn.
Hand off Jarquez. Head down. He's in. Touchdown, Auburn. Jarquez Hunter from 1 yard out, and the Tigers have the lead. Johnson steps to throw. Now flushed out of the pocket. He throws it across the middle. It's intercepted. Back at the 33-yard line. Intercepted. There's the turnover. There's the turnover by Darius Knighton. And the Auburn bench erupts on the sideline.
And they get this monkey off their back. Ooh. Since 1999, Auburn, they took the lead with 3 minutes to go. They're going to come in to Death Valley at night and win this game.
Hey, over in the Superdome, the Saints said, hold my beer.
Third down and one.
Hill will keep it. Hill, first down, touchdown.
Look good, right? Nope, overtime loss.
First and goal from the New Orleans 6 as Barkley takes it to the goal line. He's in. Giants win in overtime.
But it wasn't all terrible, Jordan the intern, because the Raging Cajuns, well, they got lucky. A 37-yard field goal to defeat them, missed. They win 20-18, go up to 4-1 now. That victory over South Alabama, the Raging Cajuns, like I said, we're 4-1. Do that aspect of it. The Colonels, Nichols, 48-17. They improved to 2-2 on the season as they defeat BU and they take on this Saturday, high noon, Riverbelle Classic over in Thibodaux. Your Southeastern Lions, Jordan. The Lions, 38-35 at McNeese. They put up 546 yards of offense, 30 first downs. Can their quarterback come on over to New Orleans? You say, they 3-1, 1-0 in the South. And again, massive game Saturday. We'll speak with Coach Rebo at 1:30, and we'll speak with Frank Selfo at 1:45 tomorrow. Jordan, I just went through the weekend's games there in college football. Your thoughts on any of that? I know you and I were texting during the LSU game there as well.
Yeah, I guess just, you know, I think the only team that's going to be able to compete with Alabama is Georgia. I mean, you saw they're only allowing 15 points throughout five games. So I think it's basically it's in college football this year, it's, you know, number one and number two with Alabama and Georgia. I think the rest, I mean, kind of separate and fall back, far back in the pack.
So hear me out. I don't know if this is a bad way to look at things, but it just unfortunately is how I look at it from this perspective on this topic. So, you know, my dad went to LSU, my wife, they're all, I hate LSU because I'm like, I picked Auburn. You heard me on Friday that they were going to win.
You did.
And it wasn't because of anything other than what I said on Friday. I don't know what to trust, and I just really don't trust LSU. I don't trust the coaching. It's not a talent thing. I think they are so poorly coached. I can't even get angry because I just look at it and I'm like, yep, that's what happens to a bad football team. They cannot get anything going on this offense. Cade York has to get 4 field goals. It's like the Saints yesterday. First 3 possessions, cross the 50, get no points. LSU.
An identical game.
Yeah, LSU could have. Auburn, you could have blown that team out. Right? And look, I know the scrambling and all of that. That is a player who's refusing to lose. That guy made a play. Who is that guy for LSU? They cannot run the football. Yep. And
what's funny also is, I mean, Bo Nix, the guy that was basically, you know, benched the week before.
He was benched in the first quarter. TJ Finley came in for 2 drives.
Exactly. And now he put on an absolute clinic here in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're an LSU fan, you kind of scratch in your head, like, what happened?
Well, Jordan, I was texting Marlon. He's going to come up next segment. And I'm texting him, like, did Butte get hurt? Like, where was he in the second half? Like, when you have a player that is the best-looking player on the field, or there's an advantage. Like, I know Matt's going to go into this at 3. There's no way he's not. The guy has essentially an unreal first half, right? And then you don't hear from the guy again until, like, the last drive or so. I mean, it's just, what happened? Like, that's inexcusable. But again, Jordan, it goes to hires. It goes to your whole aura. Why can't you hire the good hires for assistants? They're taking other jobs, not taking yours. There's a reason for that. So all that in short to say, Tiger fans, don't hate me. But I don't know if you should be too upset if they lose to 16th-ranked Kentucky this week, or the Gators beat them. They're not beating Ole Miss, and they're not beating Alabama. So they may be starting a 4-5 game losing streak. And I'm telling you right now, Arkansas got throttled. Arkansas is going to play them hard. So, I mean, they're ranked 13. It may not be a bad thing, Jordan, to let what I think is going to unfold, because then you're going to have to get better coaching, better leadership, and just right now it just doesn't feel like a program that has a clue. That's just my take. When I'm watching LSU football, it's honestly, so, well, let's try this, or, well, let me flip the play card and turn it sideways, and maybe if I hold it this way in the light, I can find this play. I have no identity. I have no rhyme or reason to what they're doing. I can't run the football. It's inexcusable to not be able to recruit somebody that can run. You don't need a 4 or 5 star running back. Find somebody that runs hard. Like, just find somebody that runs hard, or somebody that can run. I can go on and on. I'll let Matt do the ranting, but it's let it happen. Just let it happen. I know it stinks. Just let it happen, because I think unless there's change, it's just not going to happen. Matt said it 3 weeks ago that LSU football will not win of anything significant with Ed Ogeron as head coach.
Well, and it's kind of funny that, you know, the three you know, main teams here in Louisiana, you know, the Pelicans, the Saints, and the Tigers, I feel like they all have an identity issue. And it was kind of something that you left off last hour with, kind of seems like that the Saints are all over the place, and it sure did look like Saturday night that LSU was all kind of all over the place with just, you know, everything that they were doing
right
on the field, and even what they have been doing on the field the past couple of weeks.
Look, I've said it routinely on to you guys, and even on the show every now and then. LSU needs to cross the river, the AD, and take that first or second exit, go get some hot crackling, and ask Billy Napier what he wants. If South Carolina and Auburn last year, two SEC schools interviewed him and tried to get him, coached at Clemson, coached at Alabama with Saban, it's right there. It's a short drive. It's a short drive to Lafayette from Baton Rouge, Jordan. I'm just letting you know. And some cracklings, you know. I just like the guy. Look, I love when we talk to him on Tuesdays. He's developed a culture at Lafayette. He's made people care about the Cajuns over there and everything. Like, 5 people show up to a Thursday game, and he blows that team out. You got to go find – it's similar to, Jordan, what I was talking about when LSU was looking for a baseball coach. You know, oh, we need this tie. We need this name. I need the tree. Go find a coach. Go find a coach. Find a person that eats, breathes, and sleeps it, understands it, can communicate with players, because that's what's important today. And then go find that individual, you know? And that's what's important. Instead of, well, this guy has ties to this, and how many wins is there? Go find a coach. Go find a coach. Sure, of course you want one that wins. Of course you want one that recruits. I get that. They're all going to say they can do it. They all can do it. If not, you find somebody that can recruit for them or do that. But I think you got to go find somebody that either is an offensive person or a defensive person that's called plays, is a coach, or has an idea. Because I'm watching LSU football, and they have no idea. That's what it looks like to me. You know? Maybe I'm wrong.
I think, you know, you speak for a lot of LSU fans where it's, what direction is this program even going to? I mean, 2 years ago, you thought you were, you know, turning it around. Maybe you're going to start competing with the Alabamas and Clemsons after the 2019 season that you had. And it's just kind of been nothing but disappointment ever since then. I mean, really, what have Tiger fans been able to look forward to ever since that national championship win? And it really hasn't been anything much.
Well, here's the thing, Jordan. Last year was a disaster. This year looks like you have no clue. Where's your foundation? I can understand cyclical events in a cyclical timeline, right? I mean, other than Alabama, which, again, I keep always saying this, it's just not normal. That's not the norm, which is why I don't know why schools like, we got to try to be like, you can't. You can't. You can't be like them. It's just that's what they are. Try to be a good program, be a consistent winner. But what are your foundational pieces? Like, who are you building on right now? Is Max Johnson playing a type of football that makes you go, that's our guy the next 3 years? I don't think it's him that's a problem, though, to an extent. I think you see the talent. Why does the offensive line continue to struggle? Why can you not recruit the lines? As Matt said in his rant a couple weeks ago about it's time to go somewhere else with O. He was supposed to be a line guy. I'm asking you, since he's been here, is LSU's defensive line an NFL line? Like, you would think, right? Like, where's the linebacking core? Like, since Devin White's left, I just keep looking over and over again, man. And you got to be able to coach up your players. I want to be able to just to see understanding foundational football. I don't see that, right? It's almost like, hey, we got some horses here. We got some studs there. This guy can do this. Let's go play ball. You know what I'm getting at? It's like, I get it, but everyone's going to have talent. Like, what are you doing with that talent? It just seems like no rhyme or reason. Where I'm looking at the Saints, Jordan, and the Saints are simple to me. They just don't have the players, man. They don't have the players. It has nothing to do with the system. It has nothing to do with not knowing what they want to do or be. You're seeing Sean trying to adapt and trying to get through a game. That's what I see. They just don't have the players. And it's not just the receivers or things. Jordan, I'm watching Cesar Ruiz. They go out there on fourth down to try to draw him off sides. They actually jump, and he doesn't snap the ball. You know, it's like I'm sitting there watching. They just don't have the players. Again, Cesar Ruiz is a guard now. That for a reason. We're seeing that reason. So that's just a frustrating thing because that's a lack of talent and lack of cohesion, lack of time spent, lack of snaps, lack of things that I can make sense of. LSU, yikes. You know?
Yeah. I think you put it best early in the show. Thank God we have Pelicans basketball tonight because right. After the weekend with football that, you know, Louisiana had to suffer watching.
Right.
Hopefully the Pelicans can, you know, show something hopeful tonight. I know it doesn't really mean a lot, but, you know, it's the little victories, you know, that will get you through the week.
Headline on ESPN on the LSU page, Ogeron, I'm responsible for LSU's performance. Yep. But I'll say this tomorrow, Jordan. I promise I'm going to amp up, pump up, SLU. Nichols, it's the biggest game in the state, my friend. Ready?
No, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to have Coach Frank on the show and, you know, hear his take.
Sounds good, man. All right, buddy, we'll talk to you in a little bit.
All right, sounds good. Talk to you later.
There he goes. Join the intern. We'll hear from Marlon Favorite. I might just let him go here. Although, the yin and the yang, right? You had LSU on Saturday, but then his Cowboys go out there and get a nice win yesterday over those Carolina Kitty Cats. Oh, Saints, why didn't you win? You have been tied for first place in the division with Tampa, tied with the Panthers. I know it's just one game difference, but man, is that game going to burn your bridges for a while, right? Sports Hangover continues next in ESPN New Orleans.
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway. Looking for adventure. And whatever comes our way. Yeah, gotta go make it happen.
This Black and Gold Report is brought to you by Ashley Barrios and Cutoff. State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. See Ashley today for all of your insurance needs. The Saints welcomed back to full stadium for the first time in a long time, and it all seemed like the Hoodats were going to go home happy.
Third down and one. Hill will keep it. Hill, first down, touchdown.
That score gave New Orleans an 11-point lead with 12:09 to play and a Saints defense that has stopped teams, well, didn't, as New York forced overtime and won the toss, received the kick, and never gave Nola a shot.
Play. First and goal from the New Orleans 6 as Barkley takes it to the goal line. He's in. Giants win in overtime.
Saints head coach Sean Payton.
Tough game to lose. Give credit to New York. They kind of hung in there. You know, in this league, when you're able to do that, you know, all the teams are good enough to make enough plays, and certainly we didn't feel like when we came into this game, we were seeing an 0-3 team. We knew how well they played against Atlanta and Washington. So there were a number of things we're going to watch on the tape that we like, that we did well. And then there's going to be a number of things that we're going to want to get corrected. So you lead for most of the game and you lose. It's frustrating.
New Orleans falls to 2-2 and is at Washington next week as they won at Atlanta. For more on the Black and Gold, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans. This Black and Gold report has been brought to you by Ashley Barry Austin Cutoff. State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. See Ashley today for all of your insurance needs.
State Farm offers surprisingly great rates on auto insurance, but what does that mean? Surprising. This often means something comes out of nowhere, like finding that $20 bill in your dryer. Great? Well, obviously great means superior. Rates? Simply what one pays in exchange for something. And in this case, that something is State Farm being there when you need them most. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements.
When you want the real deal, call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios in Cutoff.
What would you say you do here?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fan.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Marlon Favorite's warming up. We'll get him on the field here shortly. First, is it Lashaya, sir? Is that who's on?
That's it, Lashaya.
Lashaya.
Yeah, look, Gus, first of all, first-time caller, long-time listener.
Thank you, man. Appreciate
it. Let me tell you what I think's going on with yesterday with the Saints. I blame the loss yesterday 100% on Sean Payton. Everything, in my opinion, yesterday turned around after the penalty to Kenny Stills on the long touchdown. The very next play, he brought Taysom Hill in and threw the interception. Once that play happened, everything went downhill from that point. The identity of the Saints right now is that Payton is very tentative and afraid to let Jameis throw the ball.
No doubt.
But yesterday, when he gave him the opportunity to throw the ball, Jameis was on fire at one point. He couldn't be stopped. He was putting the ball in only spots that his receivers could get. The throw to Ty Montgomery when he was double covered was an absolute beautiful throw. I'm telling you, the moment he backed down and had to stroke his ego, had to stroke Taysom's ego and put him in, that's when it took a bad turn for us. And he's got to stop doing that. The identity of this football team has to run through Jameis Winston, not both Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston. It's got to just be Jameis Winston. And then if you want Taysom Hill in the red area to do your little runs and that kind of thing, that's fine. But when you're in between the 20s, you got to let Jameis Winston do his thing. That's just my opinion, and that's what I saw yesterday. So I'll let you go and listen to what you got to say. Thank you, guys.
No doubt, man. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Bring in Marlon Favorite to kind of discuss a little bit about that. Marlon, how are you, man?
Well, bittersweet, man.
Yep, I hear you.
You know it's messed up, Gus, when the Tigers lose, Tulane lose, the Saints lose. But very selfishly, my son's team, De La Salle, they won this weekend. And the boys won. By the way, the Cowboys won this weekend, so I'm not all the way mad, but I do have to talk about these things today, Gus. So let's just get it, brother.
All right, let's do that, and I want to give you some time on the Tigers here because I just kind of had my little spiel. You know, Matt's coming up with one at 3. But when it comes to the Saints and what I watched that game, I'm sure you've been in those locker rooms where you're like, how do we lose that game? And that was one. It could come back to bite you on the butt there. But to the point of what the Shire was kind of talking about there, I see a hesitancy, whether Winston's hesitant, whether Sean's hesitant. I see a hesitancy in the Saints passing game. I see somebody does not want to make a mistake. And on 2 third-down conversion attempts, he had players open for a first down and short-armed one, and then he threw it so soft to Tony Jones prior to him getting injured that it allowed the Giants DB to come back and knock it out of his hand. If he fires that ball, that's a first down. If he hits the open Saints player, wide open, but he one-hopped it because he held on to it too tight. He didn't want to make a bad play. What do you see when you see Winston play right now with the Saints offense overall?
I think offensively, I still see that the Saints are trying to come up with an identity. I thought they had one in the Green Bay game. Winston came out, he 5 touchdowns, tore fantasy football and showed all of us what he's capable of doing. I think we've seen the overthinking Coach Sean Payton in the last few days. I mean, Shire was on point. The guy, our listener that just came on as a co-host, he pretty much said everything I was thinking, except he didn't get a chance to go on the defensive side of the ball. Gus, for the first time in a very long time, I actually went to the Saints game yesterday. I was sitting in section 117. If y'all listening, shouts out to all the Saints fans that was around me. Y'all made me had a really great time on yesterday. It was messing with the Giants fans, too. Luckily, Gus, I got out there, I think, the last 12 seconds, so we listened and kind of watched on the way out the ramp. So I know those Giants fans was over there messing with my folks. But anyway, it's all sidebar. the bottom line is, Shia hit it on the nail. Jameis was rolling, long pass to Callaway. The pass to Montgomery he mentioned. He has to stay in a rhythm between the 20s and the 20s. Yeah. Shia said it. Yeah. That is Jameis' area. And I noticed one little bitty thing. When we used to go to Taysom Hill at quarterback, Drew Brees was always on the field. I thought Jameis was being pulled out too much when the offense was on the field. Not that it's anything, or that I think it's anything dealing with his, could mess with his confidence, pulling him like that. But he needs that reassurance that, hey, I'm your guy. And I don't think he's getting that, Gus. So, I mean, that's just the Saints on the offensive side. Mm-hmm. I'll get to the defense after I hear from you.
Yeah, no, because I'm with you. And that's the toughest thing. And, Marlon, it's why I talked at length during training camp and in the offseason. If Taysom Hill doesn't win the job, how do you use him? And I specifically said this about what you're talking about. With Drew Brees, you have a Hall of Fame quarterback, and it took him some getting used to. He said it. It takes some getting used to. I'm 4-for-4 in the drive, and here comes another guy to take a snap. So it took him to get accustomed to it. This Saints offense is nowhere near the Brees level offense. And yet, I also do see that if you put him in, I mean, Marlon, he scored 2 touchdowns for you, and there were 2 really good runs. So
yeah.
I get it. So I kind of like what you're saying. How about my package with Taysom Hill is, like you said, 20 in. 20 to 20s, I've got to stay with Jameis, you know? And quite honestly, the play of the tight ends and everything right now, maybe I put Taysom out there to try and go do that.
Taysom is Taysom. Gus, we said this all the time, particularly on this show. Taysom is Taysom. He ran in 2 touchdowns. Both of those plays were in a red zone. You know, you bring him in there as a fullback, as a tight end, in some cases a receiver. I mean, he's that guy. But if I guarantee you, if we'd have had Jameis in the entire time, with the exception of the 2 touchdowns that Taysom would have probably still scored, we would have been on point. I mean, like, to see it from the game is different when you're actually there. And for me, I was just really watching the lines on both times. The lines didn't play terrible.
Right.
You know, it wasn't that type of
thing. He didn't get sacked once, Marlon. He didn't get sacked once. He didn't throw an interception. So I'm saying, I'm looking back at the stats. I'm looking at this game. And it's one of those, I've been in the locker rooms as a sideline reporter before. It's the one where your eardrums hurt because players are slamming locker doors. They're throwing the helmets in the locker. They're kicking the aluminum. Like, you're ticked off. There's no way you're not in that locker room yesterday and ticked off because it's hard to win games. It's hard to win in the NFL, and they gave up a win yesterday.
They gave up a win, Gus. And just to switch gears to no sacks, that's the same thing on the defensive side of the ball for the Saints.
Yeah.
Zero sacks. That's a huge problem. You have a very confident now second-year quarterback, sitting in the pocket pretty, not getting hit, and we're going to point fingers at the same DB? That's not fair. I mean, those guys can only cover for so long. There's only so much you can draw up, and that's not going to happen. The tackling as well. You know, of course, we're going to talk about LSU in a minute. Oh, man.
Well, we will. Well, let me ask you this, though, because you're a member of the defensive line, and you've played with some very talented players that were drafted in the first round. I see, and I do. Was purposely, like, as the game got tighter in the third and the fourth, my eyes were all over 94. I'm like, where is Cam Jordan? I'd like to see a Cam Jordan play, something, a disruption, a pass block. He has no sacks, Marlon, through four games. And so that's essentially a quarter of the season. I understand he's getting double teamed. And I know you've played on the defensive line with players that have gotten double teams and stuff. But what are your eyes seeing with number 94 right now? And why is an all-pro player not making so much of a difference as much as he can individually? I understand maybe taking two blockers helps others. I get that. I'm saying he himself.
Well, Gus, to answer that question from a former defensive lineman, it's no I in team. If you look at Cam Jordan, and I looked at this, this had to have been maybe a couple months ago. I was just kind of putting together my top defensive lineman in the league, and I looked at Cam's numbers his first few years. There wasn't really where they would need it to be. Cam actually was honest about this on Twitter. I was going back and forth on Twitter with my mind slips me. My man Sack Man Live. I'm trying to think of Junior Galette. Me and Junior was tweeting back and forth. He was putting up some of his tweets. And I was like, combining those two guys together was nasty. Defensive line play works together. Cam doesn't have that. He doesn't have Trey Henderson coming off the edge. He doesn't have Junior Galette coming off the edge. He doesn't have another defensive end. If you look at the years when Cam put up double-digit number sacks, with the exception of a few years here in recent times, putting up Pro Bowl numbers, he was more consistent when he had better pressure from the other side. You have a developing and trying to stay healthy Davenport. You have a developing and a new guy in Peyton Turner who did add a really nice pressure on yesterday. It's going to take time. You're missing a lot of middle press. That's the issue. So I think it's more along the lines of not having all the guys up front being able to add that pressure. And it showed in the numbers on yesterday. Zero sacks is why the Saints lost. A big portion of why the Saints lost. I mean, that's the number one thing to stop the quarterback from throwing the ball or being able to do a play-action pass. You have to have that pressure. So I think it's not – yeah, Cam is probably thinking a lot too and, you know, getting frustrated with the double teams and, you know, just trying to figure out how to do everything. And it's affecting him. It's no sack, and he's not really getting that Junior Galette pressure on the other side like he typically had in previous years.
Again, right now, no one's coming close to replacing the 13.5 sacks that Trey Hendrickson had on the other end a season ago. That said – you only have one more game without David Onyemata. So one more game, Washington to bye, and then Onyemata can come back because the suspension is 6 weeks. All right, Marlon, we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll talk about the LSU Tigers, sir. Normally, we just keep you a segment, but we had a lot to talk about. So let's see what you had to say when we come back. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Greg LeBlanc Toyota is currently open and here to serve our community with a fresh new inventory arriving daily and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles. If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com. GregLeBlancToyota.com. We are home strong.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Ah, time for an oil change? We've got what you need to check it off your list. Right now you can get 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic or synthetic high mileage motor oil and an STP extended life oil filter for just $36.99. And you can get it all fast, your way. Just order online with our free same day store pickup or next day delivery.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Start your job today at AutoZone.com. Restrictions apply.
When we walk, when we reach, when we play, we're moving through life. Lately, we haven't been moving enough. An estimated 80% of Americans aren't getting their recommended daily physical activity. This is a health crisis, and the solution is in our hands and our feet. It's on our shoulders. It's on our backs. It's in our souls. It's time to move and keep moving, America, wherever you are, however you can. Movement reduces your risk of diabetes, heart disease, and cancer. It improves your brain function, pain management, and immune system. And when you need help, physical therapists and physical therapist assistants are by your side, increasing your strength and mobility and improving your quality of life through prescribed exercise and teamwork. Because we are meant to climb, to dance, to soar, to thrive. Choose to move. Choose physical therapy. Visit ChoosePT.com.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Oh, boy. Brian Baldinger just put out his video 56 minutes ago on Saquon Barkley. He's back. And Marlon, you're seeing some slow-mo. Tell you what, just bottom line, offensive linemen for the Giants were just pushing back the black jerseys, man. So that explains why they had success on the ground yesterday up front. You always say it inside the trenches. Let's go to the trenches when it comes to Tiger Stadium. Kind of like what I saw yesterday. Four field goals is what the offense had to settle for. I thought you could have put the Auburn Tigers away. And then, you know, you got to give kudos and credit to individual efforts. And Bo Nix just did not want to lose that game, did everything humanly possible. How frustrating was it from a defensive lineman standpoint, though, to watch that game and see him scramble so many times he just couldn't get to him?
Imagine taking sharpened fingernails and scrunching it against a school board. I mean, against a chalkboard at the school I mentioned. That's how I felt watching those missed sack opportunities. That's how I felt just watching our defense trying to pull it together. But Nick wanted it more than us. He just wanted it more than us, Gus. It showed. I could get extra critical about how we need to do some tackling, open field tackling drills, and upfield shoulder rush of the quarterback. But the bottom line is we saw a team that was tired, that needed to be better conditioned. We saw an Auburn team from Bo Nix wanting it more than anybody on the field. He was by far the best athlete on the field that day. I mean, Kayshawn Boutte could make an argument of the plays he made, but we lost, and it was because of Bo Nix. So for the defensive line, it's a finishing thing. It's kind of what I was saying with the Saints. We can't expect the DBs to cover that long. And I know my DBs that's listening right now, you feel that. At some point, we got to have a pressure. At some point, we have to finish. Gus, like I told him, treat it like a girlfriend you didn't see in forever and give her a big hug. That's all you had to do with Bo Nix. If you hug Bo Nix, his arms, his entire body, he can't throw it. I mean, I thought the guys were going for too many kill shots as well. So it's a number of things I could point out, but it's one of those wins we needed, man. We did need it.
Marlon, it's just a frustrating aspect of watching right now LSU football, where even as I text you, I just feel they're not coached as well as some of the teams I watch on Saturdays. And I don't look at that game and go, or in the games this season, say LSU is void in talent, or they lack playmaking ability at the skill positions. I'm texting you in the game that's getting close, where's Boutte? Like, there's 100 different ways to get a guy like that involved in a game. Screens, in motion, tosses, handoffs, slants, bombs. How about just throwing or doing something to him? I text you if he was hurt. Like, did I step aside to go refill my beverage? I had no idea where he was. I literally text you because I thought he was hurt. Like, that's inexcusable. A guy like that, he needs to be tired at the end of a game.
He does, Gus. I mean, and you really don't want to wear out your guy. You want to get the ball around. And if you look at the rest of the production numbers, it explains that as well. Rushing, a total of 11 yards rushing. Like, that's unheard of. I mean, I don't even know if a Leonard Fournette would get 11 yards on a bad run. You know, it's really t- taking an honest observation at the direction this team is going. And instead of pointing fingers, toes, and elbows at any particular area, I respect Coach Ed Ogeron for saying, hey, this one is on me. But is it really, though? I mean, if you look at the grand scheme of things, I honestly think just looking at this team and the piece where the strength is on offense is with the receiving corps. I would lean more toward the Mickey Joseph. And I'm not being biased because he's a West Banker. And I'm just looking at the scope of the team in 2019, what was the best group, and I'm looking at what's the best group right now, and it's the receivers. Who's the receiver coach? Mickey Joseph. Let's lean towards him, right? Also, Max is doing an exceptionally good job. He's doing 325 yards, right? He was right down the middle with completion, but at the very same time, we have to look at that, right? Having a guy missing like John Emery, that's someone I think right now this team is really missing because he's a shifty back. I've never in my time at LSU, in recent time we could say, we're used to having 1,000-yard running back. I'm not sure if we're going to have a 500-yard one. So cleaning up those areas, the offensive line, schematically how they're blocking. I know Coach Brand had developing offensive line at Arkansas, so he's capable. But is he comfortable? Is the chemistry? He's a late hire. Are they comfortable with him coaching? So it's a number of questions I have, and I'm pretty sure I'll get answers by Thursday. But you know, just looking at the way that game ended, we didn't put the fire out, Gus, and that's essentially what it boiled down to.
So how do you look at a game like that, Marlon? Because, look, I'm looking at the stretch that's coming up. And I said it earlier in the show. It's just going to be tough, Marlon, because, I go with what I see and what my gut feels and something. And right now you're going and taking on a Kentucky team that, yes, maybe they have that high of beating Florida. But they were unranked. They got ranked. And, Marlon, that team – by its DNA is going to be competitive. Does that make sense? Like they run the football, they're aggressive on defense. Like that thing can sort of translate, I guess, is what I'm getting at. You face Florida after them. Ole Miss is very good. What happened in Tuscaloosa was just, that was a message that was sent by Daddy Saban, my friend. That was a, look, go play with your school over there. Let us big boys do what we go do, because that was a beating. And then Bama. So I'm just looking at it realistically, Marlon. In the next four games, and then you got Arkansas coming up after that, they're going to play physical. What I'm saying is LSU's about to play teams that can either score or are physical. And those are two things right now that you and I have talked about that maybe feel they're lacking.
Yeah. Imagine this. Coach Gus and Coach Faze. Got a little one-on-one going with a little Marlon and a little Carver, right? At some point, you can tell Carver what to do. All right, Carver, go run straight at a little Marlon and make a tackle. But if Carver don't execute that, that's on Carver. Same thing with Marlon. If I say, hey, Marlon, all right, I need you to shake him up, he don't do it. So I have to call the right play. You have to call the right defense. But the point I'm making is this. At some point, the players have to look each other in the face and say, okay, we're now a three-win team at midseason. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We lost two serious games. We lost to an unranked UCLA, and we lost to a 22-ranked Auburn. In the rest of the schedule, as you just mentioned, Gus, Kentucky 16, Florida 20, Ole Miss 17, Alabama, no other place but one, Arkansas 13. So the players on the team are going to have to figure out what's the identity. We have a young leader at quarterback in Max Johnson. You know, we have two award-winning offensive linemen on that O-line right now, Ed Ingram and an Austin Deculus. The names I'm dropping right now are the guys that I feel, and then on the defensive side, D. Clark, and I know we have an injured Derek Stingley right now. He's not playing. But this team needs to come together and figure out how are we going to go through this gauntlet? Because it's a gauntlet, and we can beat Kentucky, we can beat Florida and Ole Miss, but we have to bring it. We just have to bring it.
Look, Marlon, well, we'll see what happens, man, going here, going into what we have to talk about moving forward, and that is you got to buck up. Because, look, here's the thing. You can talk about coaches. You can talk about plays. And, look, there's a lot of things that you and I can sit there. I'm looking at that the previous two plays or even on the attempted game-winning drive, you know, the first down play. I'm like, well, what are you doing? It was a wide I guess a wide receiver screen to the near side that got batted down, but all three receivers didn't move. I don't really know what that was. The next two plays.
Communication issue.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the next two plays were perfect. The next two plays made sense. They were, you know, 7-yard slant over the middle for 5 yards. Like, I didn't get it. And that's why I just said it's literally like, well, let's try this play, you know, as opposed to,
right.
I go back to years ago when Alabama won at LSU, when I forgot the quarterback's name, but he was interviewed at the end of the game and he goes, I knew we were going to win a game because we practiced twice during the week, a game-winning drive, and with these seven plays, because Coach Saban felt that they were going to call those seven plays. So when I went to the line of scrimmage, I saw the play. We had practiced against that play, so I knew the play we were running was working. So, I mean, it's just like it's that kind of stuff, though, that if you want to beat the better teams, that's the kind of preparation that you need. And I don't see that. It's just very frustrating.
It is, Gus, and I think a big portion of it is, too, these are moving chairs of coaches.
Yeah.
Coach Pete, Coach Mangus, I mean, he's been here before. But it's not – when it was Coach Steve Ensminger there multiple years, you could see the difference. What Coach Ed Orgeron like. Coach Ed, from 16 to 19, yeah, we saw an LSU team that could do better. But now I just honestly feel like from a player's perspective, just thinking about – having a new coaching staff come in and trying to reacclimate to how this guy or how this coach wants to run his stuff. I think that's some of it too, Gus. Mm-hmm. I honestly think, to your point, the communication issues between, okay, which play to run? Like, I'm confused. Like, it looks like a bunch of players, tons of athletes. Don't get me wrong. We're probably the most athletic in the SEC.
Right.
But we have to get it together in those headsets. We just have to.
I hear you, man. Go enjoy your Cowboys win. That was a nice win. 3-1 on the year. Dak looks fantastic. Happy you. Must be nice to have a quarterback. Nah, I'm kidding. I think the Saints do. Just got to let him go. I honestly think Sean Payton needs to just say, you know what? All right. Here's what I want. Let's just call some plays, man. Let's just see what happens. Let him go out there and create and be a guy that can make some plays, man. I don't know. We'll see. We'll talk again on Friday, though.
Sing it with me, Gus. Weed and bars.
No, I got to go. Bars. Look at that. It's amazing that it's 2:45, and that is break time. Hit the button, buddy. Got to get him to go. Big Fave 504 is available on Twitter. And as always, you can go check out the podcast, Inside the Trenches. Quick break. We'll be back. Final segment of the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Braxton Ford is your brand new car dealer in Lockport, Louisiana. They cannot wait for you to stop in and take a look at their big town inventory and small town prices. Schedule your test drive today and let one of their trained stop by today at Calvin Braxton Ford, 5878 Highway 1 in Lockport.
Wonder if you should get tested for colorectal cancer? Well, it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., and screening helps prevent it. So if you're 50 or older, it's time. Even if it doesn't run in your family, most often, colorectal cancer occurs in people with no family history. And it doesn't always cause symptoms, especially early on. So don't wait for symptoms to get tested. Screening helps prevent the disease by finding precancerous polyps so they can be removed. Remove the polyp, prevent the cancer. Screening also helps find colorectal cancer early when treatment works best. You might be thinking, oh no, not that test. But here's the thing. You have options. There's more than one screening test. Talk to your doctor to find the one that's right for you. No more excuses. If you're over 50, get tested. Because colorectal cancer screening really does save lives. A message from HHS and CDC's Screen for Life campaign.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
So let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Go at it on the phone lines. We'll do that in a quick second. First off, let's welcome in Mr. Gerard. Gerard, thank you for giving us a buzz. Sir, you work for FEMA, and you want to pass along some info like you did last week. How are you?
I'm good. And I wanted to just let your listeners know that we've had a disaster recovery center in Butte on U.S. Highway 90 at the River Parishes Community College, and that's going to be closing on October 6th, this Wednesday, at 6 p.m. So it has served, the survivors of Hurricane Ida for about 2 weeks now, but that one location is going to be closing on Wednesday at 6 p.m. Now, these disaster recovery centers are like bank branches. You can go to any one of them, or it's like a Walgreens. You know, you can go to this Walgreens or that one, and they have your information on the computer. So there are other disaster recovery centers in the area, in the parishes affected. So you can look up a location at DRC Locator. If you just do a simple search for DRC Locator, you can find the list of open disaster recovery centers. So we just wanted everyone to know that. We know that the recovery process is continuing. It's a tough one for people, but if they go to a disaster recovery center or call the helpline at 800-621-3362 or disasterassistance.gov, that's where they can get information about how FEMA helps individuals and households.
Gerard, I think one of the reasons or one of the things that if you see some of the centers, I guess, starting to either close up or something like that, is that a good sign? Does that mean that maybe the need, I mean, there's still needs, but what I'm saying is maybe it's not as much or it could be more focused per se or centralized to other areas that maybe aren't further along?
There's a lot of different reasons why the centers close and open and close. FEMA tries to, serve as many communities as possible. And so certain centers do stay open longer than others. I don't have the deep knowledge of those numbers per se.
Sure.
to know that, but we do know we helped at that center there. We, saw hundreds of visitors. So hopefully those people got some of their questions answered and were able to understand FEMA better and move their cases forward.
Finally, I guess just another reminder, DRC Locators, you just do a search like that, you'll be able to find all the different centers in and around, anything
exactly.
else?
Exactly. Okay. You enter your zip code and, it's a geographic finder.
Okay.
And we just want everyone to keep in touch with FEMA if your situation changes. Let us know if you have questions. Let us know if you got a letter and you don't understand it. Please read the whole thing, and then you probably still have questions. So let us know, and I'll just repeat that number again: 800-621-3362.
Sounds good. Appreciate the time, and thank you for passing along the info. And as always, you got the number if you have to pass anything else on right here. Just give us a buzz.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep, thank you so much. Yep, Gerard over from FEMA giving you the latest info again. So that River Parish Community College has been a center there. It's closing Wednesday at 6 p.m., but if you want to find another disaster relief center, go ahead and just type that in, DRC locations, and there it is, and you'll find it. Earl, what you got again, sir? Good to hear from you.
Hey, Goose, you was at the game, right?
What you got?
Hey, did you? It didn't seem like the fans were juiced up to the fourth quarter, huh? Did you?
I remember Friday. I brought up that Rod Walker had tweeted. I think it might have been Friday or Saturday. All of the empty seats, like on StubHub, or that seats available. I thought that was interesting, and it's what I text Jordan earlier. It was off the air, and it was just me and him. I said, did he feel like he felt like there was a lot of fire in that place? Like, I'm watching the Patriots game from afar yesterday, right? And you could see that team and energy, and everyone was sort of like that. I think you saw that at times in the game. It's the fans. Yesterday had an odd feel too. I don't know what else to say.
Listen to the game. I mean, look, it definitely wasn't like when we were playing the Rams in the NFC Championship game in my season ticket.
Yeah.
And he said that they had 10,000 empty seats. I don't know if that's true or not, Gus. Around 10,000.
Well, like I said, their head coach prepared their team by showing video and footage post-Katrina, because he thought it was going to be that sort of emotional game. And I remember, I wondered last week, we all did, what kind of, I guess, game was it going to be? Was there some of that sense and that feeling, you know, happy to be back then? I didn't get that, you know?
Hey, Goose, real quick before I let you go, I remember, and I'm sure you remember this, and I wish we can go back to this, and I don't know if we will ever have the crowd again, but when Gleason blocked that punt, Michael Vick was the quarterback for the Falcons. He said that was the loudest game he ever been in his whole life. And mm-hmm. I just wanted to be like that again, man. I mean, that's a true advantage when teams come in the dome, and we don't have that no more, Goose. Always a pleasure, Goose. Love the show, man.
Sounds good, man. Appreciate it as always. Take care, buddy. So, yeah, I don't know. It's my sense. If you were there, you know what I'm getting at. And again, by no means am I bashing, ripping, or saying you should have been there or not and all of that. I think there's some factors. I think there's still people that are busy and doing things and recovery, or I still can't get out there or whatever. I also think the mandate of being vaccinated and, you know, masks and all that other stuff probably keeps people away. I'm pretty sure it does. I know of people that, you know, gave up their tickets because of it.